here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zacks Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zacks Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zacks, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Today is Friday, March 17th, aka St. Patrick's Day, except the real celebration was last weekend in Chicago.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Yeah, everyone was...
It's always the weekend before.
Pretty shwasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm already over it. Yeah.
I don't think the river is green anymore either.
I don't think so, no.
Anyways.
They dyed the river green in Chicago, yes. I guess you didn't know that.
We're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. The market is clearly still buzzing over the Fed's decision to hike its benchmark rate this week. So we'll be taking a look at that story later in the show.
Yeah, we're actually going to be joined by an expert guest who will explain why the hike might have a big impact on money market funds. But first, we're going to be looking at a big, big story in the world of tech this week.
Yeah, so on Monday, semiconductor chipmaker Intel announced a huge move.
It was huge.
Understating it.
I would agree.
A move in the self-driving car race, buying Israeli firm Mobileye for a reported $15.3 billion. The deal values Mobileye at about $63.54 per share, which is a 34% premium to its closing price last Friday. So Intel plans on integrating its own automated driving group with Mobileye's renowned operations, combining Intel's processors and Mobileye's computer vision technology. Not only is this acquisition a huge deal for Intel, but it's also an endorsement of both the Israeli tech scene as well as the entire self-driving vehicle industry as a whole. So if the necessary regulations are in place, 2020 is the year every company, tech and automaker, in the race plans to have a working self-driving car or fleet on the road. Mm. And Intel just kind of swerved to the front of the line.
Yes. It's also, I would like to say, 2017 right now. So 2020, not that far away.
Not that far away. Yeah.
Wow. Really big acquisition.
Yeah, it was pretty big, kind of out of nowhere.
Felt out of nowhere. And that 34% premium to the closing price, it wasn't a cheap deal at all. So speaking of huge, going to shift now to President Donald Trump and his first budget blueprint. It's called America First. Mm-hmm. It was released on Thursday, and we've got a few key takeaways from it. I think overall, a deliverance of a lot of campaign promises.
Yes.
Nothing too shocking in here. It's cuts in the places you think there would be cuts and increases in the few places that you would think there would have been increases. So let's talk about that right now. Almost every government agency will see some sort of budget cut. Some of the bigger losers include the State Department, which will see its budget cut by 28.7%, and the EPA, which will have its funds slashed by 31.4%. We will talk in depth a little bit about the EPA in a couple minutes here. But I wanted to note that only the Defense, Homeland Security, and Veterans Affairs departments are getting a boost. In total, President Trump is proposing about a $54 billion increase in defense spending. A couple other things to touch on: border wall still on the docket.
I haven't forgotten about that one.
Still a priority. Trust me, he has not forgotten about it. That's for sure. Maybe a little bit more of a clue in that Mexico's not paying for it, at least in the time being. President Trump wants $1.5 billion for the border wall between U.S. and Mexico in this current fiscal year, and then another $2.6 billion in fiscal 2018. This is for the purposes of a few pilot projects to determine the best methods to build the rest of the wall.
Yeah, and I want to point out that we don't know, like, the total cost of the wall.
No, this is just for the...
Yeah.
Cool. And important note to make.
Yes. And I believe I was reading earlier on Thursday that the like total estimated cost of the wall is expected to come in the like final budget mm-hmm. in mid-May.
Okay.
So
TBD surprise. On that, we will see in a couple months.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So as I mentioned, the EPA was a big loser. I might call it, in my opinion, Maddie, I think you share this opinion, probably the biggest loser of the plan. We've known for a while now that President Trump is not a huge fan of the EPA. It is going to get its budget definitely sliced a little bit. I mean, obviously, this is still a blueprint. We are in the very early stages of passing a budget. So the president wants to send more than 50 EPA programs to the chopping block, including former President Barack Obama's, signature clean power plan to reduce carbon dioxide emissions, other initiatives like the Energy Star program, a grant to help cities and states fight air pollution, infrastructure aid to Alaskan Native villages, and programs to clean up the Great Lakes would either be axed or significantly defunded.
Yes.
Nothing too shocking there, as I said. But
and, you know,
those are the types of programs that get cut when the EPA loses its...
And as we know, Scott Pruitt, the current director, mm-hmm. is also not a fan of his own department.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
So the budget also eliminates programs aimed at helping the poorest Americans, which I will also say may be the second biggest loser mm-hmm. of this budget. Blueprint. So the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, also known as LIHEAP.
LIHEAP, if you will.
That helps people pay utility bills and weatherize their homes. That will be gone, as well as the Community Development Block Grant, a part of HUD, which is the
Housing and Urban Development.
That helps support affordable housing and infrastructure, among other things. That will also be eliminated. Other grants for rural water projects, funds for local transit systems, and many other regional economic development commissions would also end. The budget would also cut funding on assistance to at-need counties in Appalachia and the Mississippi Delta, one of the poorest regions in this country. Eliminating the Appalachian, Regional Commission, which promotes economic development in an area that's home to many of Trump's rural base.
I think that was the most interesting thing to me, the Appalachian Regional Commission in particular would be something that was targeted. Because when we're talking about that kind of area of the country, Appalachia, Mississippi Delta, also up north into the Northeast as well.
Yeah.
That was a part of the country that President Trump did very well in.
Yeah, Appalachia is a huge swath of the country.
Yeah, and I think in hindsight, one of the biggest, I kind of think, like political takes after the fact was that Trump's message really resonated with this area of the country that has been struggling really badly over the past 20 years, really. You've seen a massive decline in standard of living, as you said, was one of the poorest areas in the country right now. It's an area of the country that seemingly got lost in a transition to a more modern economy, and is now one where people are struggling with opioid addiction. Mm-hmm. This obviously has to do in Rust Belt counties as well. So really interesting that there are going to be some things rolled back in those areas that Trump did so well in. But again, I don't think most of these programs, the Home Energy Assistance Program, Community Development Block Grant, I'm not shocked by much of what this budget looks like. And like we said, early stages, a lot of lobbying has to be approved by Congress. And whipping to do as...
Yeah. This is just preliminary. Hey, this is...
A blueprint, if you will.
hey, this is just a plan. So
interesting. We won't talk too much about the politics of things. I think we sometimes tend to get
on tangents.
Yes, definitely. And we've talked about it many times post-election. So we're going to talk something else that has to do with the federal government. Does that sound good? Let's talk Fed interest rate hike. This obviously happened on Wednesday. I have said a few things aren't surprising so far. This was the least surprising thing of everything that we've covered. Janet Yellen, I think, does a good job of trying to make sure that the market is ready for these things and making sure that the Fed doesn't surprise anyone with these decisions. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve, sorry, that was a weird way to say it, the Federal Reserve voted 9-1 to raise its benchmark rate, known as the federal funds rate, by 0.25% into a range of 0.75% to 1%. Finally getting a whole number almost. So the Fed raised the key U.S. interest rate for the first time this year. The central banking system announced it only has two more rate increases planned for 2017 at most. That's a really key thing, because I think when they make these announcements, like I said, we're all prepared for the hike. People are more interested in hearing about what's the schedule for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So two more potentially. And I think overall, pretty positive reaction to it throughout the markets. As we've said, I think kind of priced into a lot of different areas that it would affect already. Looking at the overall health of the economy, the unemployment rate fell to 4.7% in February, a number that the Fed clearly sees as a good sign as it works towards maximizing employment and moderating inflation. Inflation doing fine at about 2% right now. And Yellen in her press conference said, quote, "The simple message is the economy is doing well," end quote. And I think that's really the big takeaway here, is that at least to the Federal Reserve, the American economy is strong right now.
All right. We are now going to be joined by Patricia Larkin, the Chief Investment Officer at BNY Mellon Cash Investment Strategies, a division of the Dreyfus Corporation.
Patricia is a senior portfolio manager for numerous funds and has over 30 years of experience with BNY Mellon affiliates.
She is also a resident expert on money market funds, a type of investment that is sure to be impacted by the rate hike cycle.
As the market continues to react to the Fed's announcement, we talked to Patricia yesterday about how money market funds might be affected. Thanks for joining us, Patricia. Can you start by explaining the basic strategy of investing in money market funds and touch on why these funds might be affected by rate hikes?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me. So we start our strategy, pretty much starts with know your customer. We have a dedicated sales force in this asset class, and they have a clear understanding of what their cash needs are. So money market funds, as you know, start with our 2A7 requirements under the Investment Act of 1940. And then naturally, we look at the macroeconomic environment, the FOMC and monetary policy, where we are in the calendar year. Most of the time, those large institutional investors are using a fund such as this because of diversification, short maturity, liquidity, credit assessment, and the like. And then we understand where and when they need their cash. They're looking for same-day liquidity, traditionally at the end of the month, the end of a quarter, the end of the year. So we build our strategy based on what we determine is the right place to be on the yield curve. And that's, as you know, short-term investments. So money funds can go out 397 days with a maximum whale of 120 and an average maturity of 60. So depending upon what type of fund, a treasury fund or a prime fund, will determine sort of where we are invested along the yield curve for that particular portfolio.
Yeah, so in this particular case, the Fed seems to be setting us up for a gradual inclination of the rate throughout the rest of the year. So in your view, what is the outlook for future rate hikes, and what will these mean for money market funds in 2017?
Sure. Sure, that's a great question. As you know, the Fed raised rates yesterday, welcome and well advertised. Money funds, by definition, as you know, are short-term investments, so naturally everything we buy is pegged to the Fed funds rate. This Fed, Chair Yellen, has been very good and well advertised and indicates when rates are going to move higher, as we saw yesterday. Naturally, the market's going to react to any of that news, as we saw this morning, in the short term, really short term, say 0 to 90 days, and in 0 to 1 year in the Treasury market. So we anticipate that rates will go higher from here. I think that Chair Yellen made the statement yesterday, and I quote, the simple message is the economy is doing well, end quote. And if things continue along those lines, we've seen two moves. We could likely see one or two more, depending upon how the data continues to print as we go through the year. They are data dependent. We would call this a normalization of rates, and we've had historic rates, as you know, historically low rates, I'm sorry, for the last 8 years. So this is really normalization, and if the market if the economy continues to perform, we anticipate rates will move up once or twice for the duration throughout this year.
Okay, so another thing we often talk about with rate hikes, something that is always a part of the conversation, is inflation. So is inflation a factor right now, and does this also have an effect on these funds?
Great question. Obviously, inflation has not been a factor post 08 as the economy was somewhat sluggish. It's got a little bit more life to it, or more consistent a life, if you will. Theoretically, if inflation was on the upswing, the Fed might be increasing rates faster than they currently are. So what I would say to that is inflation is an issue vis-a-vis how it affects the Fed moving the actual Fed funds rate up. So the Fed doesn't have a target on inflation, theoretically. They've kind of called it 2%. They'll keep an eye on that. You will see, naturally, if the market feels like inflation is on the upswing, it will naturally roll into the front end of the curve and rates will move up before the Fed might move, for example, which traditionally happens anyway if they're going to raise rates. Sometimes you see the actual rates moving up in the marketplace. So if inflation started to show up, you could expect the Fed to move maybe quicker or in larger increments, but currently inflation is not really an issue. It's running around 2 or slightly under 2, and we anticipate that to be the same for the near term.
So with all of this in mind, can you touch on the overall outlook for the short-term markets? So are there any other major factors at play right now, and how should investors interested in the money market feel about the next several months?
Sure. Yields on money market funds are going up, so that makes them an alternative investment for cash. Traditionally, those going into a money fund they don't want to manage their own cash. It's, again, as I mentioned earlier, for diversification. So as yields are going up, investors in this asset class have a reason to be excited for the first time in a long time, because for the longest time, as you know, rates have been historically low. So the economy is doing well, inflation's in check, we have a steady Fed working towards normalizing rates, as I mentioned earlier. I would say that institutional shareholders should be excited to look at money market funds, because they will actually be producing a yield. And in the not too distant future, you'll see 1% on a money market fund yield again. And I think then from there, it will slowly go higher.
All right. I think that just about does it for us. Thank you for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
As always, thank you for joining us at the Zacks Friday Finish Line. If you have any questions or concerns, please shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com.
You can check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. As a reminder, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us a rating on iTunes. We will see you next time.